From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome to another Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're able to be with us because this week we're looking at the last of the themes in Titus, a little series of messages that we have been doing on some outstanding texts in that little book written by Paul to Titus. The message we're featuring this week was preached as part of our church's Reformation celebration in 2005. And that will let you know why I'm making so much reference to the great Protestant reformers. The text is Titus 3 verses 4 through 8. And the subject is the gospel that shook the world. I trust that the Lord will bless it to your heart and give you a desire to see in our day such a move of the Spirit of God as was seen in the early church and in the days of the Protestant reformers. Before we come to the message, however, we have our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for today. Today's devotional is taken from Psalm 2, verse 12, the subject, On the Lord's Side. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Although Christ is precious to those who know Him as Lord and Savior, He's not precious to all. We cannot but be sickened when we see the blatant disregard shown to our Lord on every hand. He is mocked by arrogant sinners, and His authority is ignored by virtually all. If sinful man had his way, every vestige of true Christianity and every thought of Christ would be set aside. Admittedly, there are times when it seems that sinful man is getting his way. It sometimes appears that wickedness has usurped the throne of God Himself. But faith knows that things are not always what they appear to be. Psalm 2 gives a sight of reality. It shows us both heaven and earth and assures us that heaven rules. It shows us our precious Christ, who is the Lord of every man's destiny. It shows us that in the spiritual arena, it's not over until it's over. And it shows us that when it is over, we had best be on the Lord's side. In the face of rebellious opposition by every race and social class, God sits with eternal authority on His throne, where He does whatsoever He desires. His laughing at man's rebellious folly would be comical if the issues at stake were not so grave. What utter folly to reject and spurn the Lord, overriding man's silly efforts to throw off divine rule. God declares that Christ is enthroned and gives Him universal authority. One way or another, every man must submit to the authority of Messiah. Eternal destiny is linked to the Son. Those who reject Him perish. But blessed are those who trust. Therefore, be smart, be instructed, serve Him with fear, rejoice with trembling, and above all, kiss the Son, embracing Him in love and faith. Our thought for the day comes from William Gurnall. There is nothing got by scuffling with God.
Thank you.
Many of you have taken the opportunity to obtain the various resources that we have made available to you here in Let the Bible Speak, and we hope that these will better equip you to stand for the Lord Jesus and to serve Him. If you're not yet on our mailing list for our quarterly magazine or our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD, a sort of an electronic magazine, we encourage you to rectify that situation and to request these good materials today. In addition, we have a special offer that we think you should hear about. I have been noting for some weeks now that the World Council of Churches held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil recently, and that the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a good separatist Bible-believing organization, the General Secretary, Dr. Ralph Colas, went there as a reporter to Brazil, and his report on what was going on at the World Council of Churches makes interesting, indeed startling reading. He lifts the lid on the utter apostasy of the World Council of Churches, and, of course, the National Council of Churches, which has in membership the leading main denominations here in the United States. So if you would like to receive Dr. Colas's report, and we would like you to receive it, then just write or call, let us know, ask for it. We'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. Let me exhort you, if you haven't already done so, to write or call and obtain Ralph Colas' expose of the World Council of Churches and its ecumenical apostasy. We look forward to hearing from you. We're considering Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, and the subject, the gospel that shook the world. First in the days of the apostles and early church, and then again in the days of the Protestant Reformation. Yesterday I noted the first great truth that Paul lays down in that gospel, and that's where we'll take up today's study. Verse 4, we start with the first great truth that Paul emphasized, that Luther emphasized, that the Protestant Reformation took time to stress, and that we must never lose sight of. And it is God's love for a lost humanity. Or if I could put that another way, God's love for men as men. Now let me put that even more clearly, because I am speaking to you as one who is an unapologetic Calvinist. I believe in the distinguishing, electing purpose of God. I believe in the peculiar love of God for His elect and for His redeemed. But having said that, I am saying Paul is here speaking of a love not for men as elect or as redeemed, but for men as men. Notice what he says. After that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now there are a couple of terms here that demand our close attention. The first word is kindness. The Greek term that is translated kindness is one that John Calvin, in another context, translated as civility, courtesy, demonstrated by speech and actions toward others. The great linguist Archbishop Trench said it's the opposite of harshness. So kindness is a very good translation of the term here. Now then we have another term, and it is a most interesting term. You'll notice it says the love of God our Savior toward man. Let me give you that as Paul wrote it in the order of words. The love
toward man of our Savior God. That's the order of the words. And the term love toward man is all one word. Now this is a word that also denotes kindness. For example, in Acts 28 verse 2, we read that the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. It's this word. So it does have the idea, the connotation of kindness. But this is the word that is brought over into English. It's transliterated into English. And we call it philanthropy. That's the word that Paul is using here. In classical Greek, it meant benevolence. As one man would practice it toward other men, it meant humanity, dealing humanely, kindly, benevolently, generously. This is the word then that Paul uses. It's speaking of generosity, of kindness, of a free and gracious giving to others in their need, to do them good. It is a treatment of others in their need that flows from a genuine love and a genuine pity and an interest in their welfare. That's the word that Paul is here employing. He says, our Savior God. And I think that's a beautiful title that the apostle here gives. It's translated in our Bible, God our Savior, and I have really no quarrel with that. But when Paul says, our Savior, God, I think that's a beautiful title of our Savior. And he said, when the kindness of our Savior, God, appeared, he showed his gracious and his generous love for mankind in, and I think the appearing usually speaks of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, this is the basic element in the gospel. There is much more about the love of God that may be said. As I've said, there are many passages that deal with that peculiar, electing, redeeming love of God. But fundamental to the character of God is his benevolence to his creatures as his creatures. We could well use the word pity here. And some translations do use that word. The pity that God shows for man in their fallen estate. The pity that God has even for those who are his blinded enemies. The philanthropy of God toward man. And this is a basic element in Christ's gospel. In other words, we have a gospel because fundamentally God is for man and not against them. Fundamentally, we have a gospel. Because as we read in John chapter 3, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, no element of the gospel has been more comprehensively abused than this. In much of the medieval church, it was practically denied. God was portrayed as angry and unapproachable. The Lord Jesus Christ was portrayed as distant and untouchable. And so the church invented a whole host of intermediaries. People with a softer heart. People who were approachable. Mary and all the saints. That's how they came on the scene. Because man perverted the biblical revelation of a pitying God into a harsh and distant and unapproachable creator and judge. Now God is the judge. God is just. God is holy. And we should stand in fear of the holiness and the justice of God. But to wipe out of the picture the approachability of God through Jesus Christ is to do a fundamental disservice to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, nowadays, of course, Rome is much more careful with her language. But she continues to promote Mariolatry. The Pope, who just died a few months back, died commending himself not to Christ, but to Mary. His motto was, totally or entirely yours. And that was not addressed to God or to Christ. It was addressed to Mary. And I would say that the invention of other intermediaries, the invention of others who can get through to God for us because He is not willing to receive us directly, is an assault upon the a virtual denial, should I say, not only an assault, upon this wonderful truth of God's pity, His natural pity, His natural benevolence, His overwhelming goodness that He has displayed to all men. Of course, Protestantism has also produced its attacks on this truth. I said I speak as a Calvinist. There is a brand of Calvinism. Calvinists who cannot abide the thought that God may have any general kindness toward all His creatures. They say He loves His elect. Christ died and purchased their salvation, and therefore their little scheme cannot find room for the big-heartedness and the benevolence of God. No matter what the Bible says, His goodness is over all His works. And the Scripture piles reference upon reference of how God has dealt with every man better than that man deserves. And there is a rich goodness and pity and benevolence in God. These people want to deny. In fact, many of them would even take the gifts that God gives to the ungodly, and instead of making them marks of His goodness and His kindness, they make them marks of His curse and say that He's simply fattening them for damnation. A greater slander on the benevolence of God would be hard to imagine. Then you've got liberals and even some evangelicals who have swung to the other extreme. And they have so emphasized God's kindness that they have espoused the notion of universalism. He couldn't damn anybody because He is so kind. In other words, they deny the justice of God. Liberals seem to agree with the historian Will Durant. And I would have to say that their theological insight and his are just about on a par. They agree with his assessment of Luther's dependence on Paul. He wrote Paul in the line of the prophets rather than that of the apostles. Transformed Jesus into an atonement for Adam. The Old Testament overshadowed the New. Yahweh. Anytime you have them using that name for Jehovah, you've either got a liberal or somebody who's toadying up to the liberals. It is an invention of liberalism. If you want to read a bit more on it, just go to my dictionary and I'll give you the evidence why Jehovah is the proper transliteration of what's called the Tetragrammaton in the Hebrew Bible. That's, by the way, a little self-promotion and plugging. But Yahweh darkened the face of Jesus. To Durant and the liberals, God cannot be kind if He is just. But this is nonsense. The fact that He's holy and just simply makes His kindness to man all the more remarkable. The greater you see God to be, then the more outstanding is the fact that He would pity poor worms of the dust such as you and I. Now let me tell you, when people like Luther began to preach the love of God, he had to come to that personally. If you ever read the story of Martin Luther, you will read the story of a tormented and a demented soul. A man who's so overwhelmed with the greatness of his sin and the fear of his judge. A man who thought that God was harsh and unapproachable. A man who, when he started to read the Bible, came to the phrase, the righteousness of God, or as it may be translated, the justice of God, and he trembled, and he, in his heart, hated this God, because he was just and judgmental. He had to come to realize that God is not only holy and just, but God is love. And when the love of God and the pity of God dawned upon the heart of Martin Luther, and he was led to trust in the wounds of Jesus, he was led to trust in the sacrifice of Christ, and he learned that God in love and free grace had provided a perfect righteousness in Christ, which he would freely confer upon every believer. It not only revolutionized Luther's life, but through his preaching, it revolutionized Europe. Let me tell you, we live in a world that's as dark as Luther's world. A world that's hurting. A world where men have skewed notions of God. Some thinking of him as harsh and unkind. Some thinking of him as some sort of a glorified Father Christmas who couldn't do anybody any harm. If you read what's being written in the local press, even about the events of the last few weeks with floods and fires and winds and the things that have devastated so many, you'll find that people have skewed and stupid notions of God. In the midst of all this, we have a great God to preach. God is love. You can go out into this vast world, this cavern of sinful darkness, and you can see men of every kind and of every stage of degradation, and know that the kindness and the love of man by our Savior God has once and for all appeared. And you can preach the pity and the benevolence and the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of our great God and Savior in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.